Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Ooh, I found Jesus.
This is a special day.
And as fascinating as that is, I'm like an apartment building where you have to buzz to come upstairs on the intercom.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, how you doing? What's up with you? What's wrong with you? You look tired. There's bags under your eyes. Large bags. You got things all over you. You look tired. You know, it's odd when you go to somebody's house, you walk in the door, they take your coat, you sit down. They never seem to offer you Jell-O. Why is that? No one ever says, hey, would you like some Jell-O? People don't do that. Who invented Jell-O anyway? That food is disgusting. It's nothing but water and flavoring in a gelatin kind of form. Yuck. Who would want to eat something like that? It's like devouring a flavored amoeba. It's just like, how unappetizing can that be? The only way I like Jell-O is if you put whipped cream on it. Kind of like Jell-O better if it's just whipped cream and no Jell-O. Jell-O's not a food. It's not a thing. Jell-O is what they give people after they've had an operation, or seniors who can't handle solid foods anymore. That's when Jell-O comes into play. You don't use Jell-O otherwise as a dessert. Come on, are you kidding me? Who does that? I remember the commercial for Jell-O. If you remember the jingle, the actual jingle for Jell-O, is the spelling of the word Jell-O. That was the commercial. The jingle was J-E-L-L-O. What kind of advertising is that? What kind of advertising is T-H-A-T? I think I wasted 3 minutes of your time. Hey, you got to hear this guy. He's on the radio, and for 3 minutes at the beginning of his show, all he did was talk about Jell-O. What is this? Why do they allow this? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. All the allergies are kicking up. I'm starting to see the pollen fly through the air. Many people say it's springtime, what a wonderful time of year. I say, uh-oh, here we go with all the crap. Here we go with the pollen and the sneezing and the itchy eyes. And here we go with the bugs and the mosquitoes. And here we go. I didn't eat lettuce like for a whole year. Really, Ron, tell me the story behind that. Seriously, do I have to? Yeah, it was a horrible story. I was in Rochester, New York. Do you have time for this, by the way? I was in Rochester, New York. Well,
good, 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 good,
now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
So I was living in Rochester, New York. Thank you so much. And it's a beautiful house. It was a tiny little house. It only had two bedrooms, one toilet, and it was tiny. It was really tiny. I think it was like 3 square feet. It was very tiny. It made tiny houses look like huge. It was a small house, and I was in Rochester, New York. It was my first house. Your first house, you don't get a big house. You get a tiny house. It was a little house. I had to go outside to change my mind. I had to go outside to change my mind. But what this house did have was a backyard that was beautiful. It was so expansive. Not expensive, expansive. There was a gigantic willow tree. It was huge. And this big garden. And you had to walk back like 200 feet to get to the garden. It was beautiful property. Tiny house, beautiful property. So myself and my wife decided to make this gigantic backyard garden. This was many, many years ago. It was like in like decades ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Beautiful garden. So we decided to grow cucumbers and zucchini and red peppers and green peppers and blah, blah, peppers and everything, lettuce and tomatoes. It was beautiful. We would go to the garden and spend a lot. Those were the days when I could bend down easily. I can't do that anymore. And I'm only 23. Ron, seriously, don't lie like that. Oh, I shouldn't lie? Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought you're supposed to lie. That's what the president does. I thought that was the thing to do now. I'm sorry. So anyway, so we're growing this stuff, and every once in a while, like every month, we'd go back there, and we'd pick the vegetables, and we'd bring them into the kitchen, and we'd cook them, and we'd eat them. So one night, we're sitting at the table there, and we're having our dinner. We're having a nice salad. It's got the lettuce that we picked from the garden, and the tomatoes, and the green peppers, and it was just so organic. It's not funny. I mean, it was not nobody was laughing. It was not funny. Everything was like as organic as it gets. It was like freshly picked from the garden like an hour ago. You don't get fresher than that. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and beautiful salad, man. So colorful, so fresh, so wonderful. And take my fork and I put it into the lettuce, and out of the lettuce, out of a chunk of lettuce, comes crawling out some type of worm. It wasn't, I mean, that's disgusting to begin with, but this worm was like really slimy, kind of like Jell-O. Oh, I see what you're doing. You're tying in the 3 minutes that you thought you wasted. Oh, very smart, Ron. This worm comes crawling out, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we looked at the worm, and I was totally, I didn't eat any of that crap. No more organic for us. We continued to grow vegetables, but we didn't eat them. We just grow them because we had the garden, and the seeds were already planted, but that was the end of it for us. I mean, one worm, that was the end of it. I know it's stupid, but it's true. One worm just ruined everything for our organic garden in the backyard. That's my funny story.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Not right.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
We you still here? Wow. It's incredible. Incredible. I feel so bad for Joe Biden. God. As you know, Joe Biden was the Vice President of the United States for 8 years with Barack Obama as the president. Whatever you think politically of those 8 years, it's a whatever. But Joe Biden does have one legacy. Well, he has two, actually. His main legacy is that he's just a great man. Republicans love him. Democrats love him. Aliens from outer space love him. Worms crawling out of organic lettuce love him. He's just a lovable old Joe kind of guy. And he's considering running for president. He's being treated as if he is running for president, although he hasn't announced it. But he's just a good old guy. He's warm, understanding, personable. But that is a problem. And that's the other thing he's known for, is being warm and personable. This is a conundrum, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know the answer to it, and I think we need to search our souls to figure out where this thing is at. Seven women so far within the past 2 weeks have come forward and said that Joe Biden touched them in an eerie, uncomfortable manner. None of them are claiming that it was sexually aggressive or any intent of being U2 movement-ish. They all admit, all seven women, that it was done in an affectionate way, but it was awkward and uncomfortable, and men shouldn't be touching women without their authorization because it makes them feel awkward and uncomfortable. Joe is a very touchy-feely kind of guy. He is. If you are talking to him, he will put his arm around you, male or female. He does it to men as well. He doesn't discriminate. He's not doing it to be a womanizer. He just touches everybody. He'll rub your shoulders to comfort you, male or female. He'll just do it. He's a touchy man. He'll. Many people say he invades their space because he gets close to you. I don't think he has bad breath or anything. I would find that to be awkward if he had bad breath, but no one's ever complained about that. This is Joe Biden, and many people think that that's endearing. If you're in trouble or you're upset about something as vice president, he would go over to you, male or female, and hug you without asking. He will kiss you on the top of the head. That was one of the accusations from one of the women that said that they felt awkward in the touching thing. She got kissed on the top of the head. These are not sexually aggressive situations, and they all admit that. These are situations where a man is invading the space of a human being, and especially a woman, as they say. Joe has admitted that, yeah, you know, he's a touchy-feely guy. Everybody who knows him says he's a touchy-feely guy. Most of them love that about him, find that refreshing, comforting. There's a small percentage that find it to be awkward and uncomfortable, and that's enough to cause trouble. And that's where we're at. This is a big news story that Joe Biden doesn't respect people's spaces and does awkward touching. Nobody, he's not like the president. He's not that bad. He's not grabbing pussy. He's not calling women names. He's not degrading women. He's not treating them like sexual objects. He's not having sexual affairs with them while his wife is pregnant. That's all Trump. My point is, how can you compare Donald Trump and Joe Biden in their touching methods? I mean, Trump is the one guy who shouldn't be talking about this. Republicans are the one party that shouldn't be talking about this. And for the most part, they're not. It's the Democrats that are saying that Joe, these are all Democratic women who have worked with him or served with him, who said that, well, he made me feel awkward because he touches a lot. He touches my shoulders. He kissed me on top of the head for some reason. look, we got to be careful here. Because human beings are supposed to do this. They're supposed to touch each other in an affectionate, supportive manner. But now the rules have changed. Of course, you can't touch them between the legs. You can't touch their tits. I mean, you know, nobody could. I don't want my tits touched by anybody either, and I'm not a woman. So I get all of that. But I'll tell you something, kids. We got to be really careful here. We're taking affection away from our society. Joe's got to tone it down just a bit. There's no question about it. Joe's got to tone it down. If there is 90 people that love the touchy-feely and 10 that don't, then you don't. And it's sad, but if you're running for president, you better do what you should do. But it's kind of sad. If I had the loss of a loved one and Joe Biden was in the room and found out that I was in a grieving state, he would come over and probably hug me and say, it's going to be all right. I went through this too. It's going to be okay. I'm here for you. I wouldn't say, Joe, get your hands off me. I would welcome that. So we have to be careful. We're kind of supposed to be in a society that supports and loves and hugs. I thought that was kind of what it was supposed to be. Now I'm confused because we're confusing hugging and supportive touching as being a sexual aggression. And even these seven women are saying, no, it wasn't sexual. It was just made me feel weird, made me feel awkward. Well, maybe they have the problem. Maybe they should go to therapy. Because maybe when somebody touches you affectionately without sexual overtones, maybe you should accept that. Or you could turn around and say, Joe, thank you, but I'm feeling a little awkward with the touching part. And Joe would say, oh, okay, I'm sorry. But if you don't, then Joe figures that he's just being himself. He's just being the affectionate Joe. Joe Biden is not perfect. Donald Trump is far from perfect. But man, we just jump on things like there's no tomorrow. It's so weird these days. Society is so weird. And you know what weirded us out? It's that stupid social media crap. That's what weirded us out. Where everybody's little tiny situation of complaint is known throughout the world. Now, sexual aggression of a man of power over a female is wrong and must be stopped immediately and is punishable by death. Ask Bill Cosby. Ask all those actors in show business who overstepped their bounds. Ask the politicians that did inappropriate touching in a sexual manner. Of touching boobs or something like that, or crotching it up. This is not that. Let's be very careful about that. Let's not lose our affection. I'm not a very affectionate person, but yet I understand it. I accept it. I do give it sometimes too. I give affection, not as much as Joe Biden, but I kind of wish I did. I think Joe's a fine guy. I think affection is a fine thing if it's not in a sexual connotation or sexual manner. And on all these accusations, none of them said that it was in a sexual type of aggression. That's all I wanted to say. That's all, because that's the big news story right now. Anyway, how are you? Are you good? This show is really getting out of hand, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what the hell's going on, although I am sure about this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Well, it's time to do our exercises. Yes, that is a segment that I have started on this program. I do it once every 5 years. It's very important to keep your body in motion. I spend most of my time either sitting in front of the TV in a chair or on the toilet. I don't move around all that much. So I thought that together we should perhaps do some exercises. Are you ready to do this? Now, if you're sitting in the car, my God, don't do that, because I don't want you walking around the car while the car's in motion. I don't think that's a good idea. However, there are things that you can do. When I'm driving in my car, what I do is I thrust my body back and forth in the seat. Now, I'm in a sitting position. When you're in the car, you have to do your exercise in the sitting position. But you use a steering wheel to do push-ups as you're driving. Do it very, very carefully, obviously. Don't do it 80 miles an hour or anything. But, you know, just move your body around in that chair, in your car, and you are actually getting exercise. I'm trying to be very conscious of not just sitting in one space and not moving at all, because that's supposedly dangerous. Let me tell you something, kids. The older you get, everything becomes a little bit more dangerous. It does. When you're young, everything you do is usually in movement. When you're older, everything you do is usually in a sedentary, locked position. So I'm very conscious of this. So let's do this together. Are you ready? You have to change into sweatpants? No, you don't. No, this is just, no, you don't have to do that. We're going to do this together right now. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Now, what I want you to do is stand in place, again, unless you're driving, stand in place and lean forward. Just lean forward. Not so you fall over, but, you know, just lean forward. Okay. Now, lean back again. Very good. Excellent. Very, very nice. That's it. That's enough. Oh, man, am I tired from doing that. I was watching TV yesterday, and they had this this guy, Tony Little. Have you ever heard of him? Tony's not that little. He's actually a very large, muscle-building guy. He's got a long ponytail. I have nothing against ponytails. I have one myself. And he's probably 190 years old, but he's moving around like he's 12. And I think he's got the mental capacity of a 12-year-old, but that's besides the point. I think if you have the mental capacity of a 12-year-old, and you're 90, then you're really 12 years old. I think it's all upstairs. I don't think it's where your body is. I think it's where your mind is. That's your age. That's your age is what's in your mind. I know like 75, 80-year-old men who act like they're in their 20s, and they do. And to me, therefore, they are 20. If you have the mind of a 20-year-old, you are therefore 20. If you have the mind of an 85-year-old person, assuming that's old these days, then you are indeed 85. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you even listening to me? Are you doing something else while I'm talking? How rude that is. How rude. Do you find me doing something else when you're trying to? No, you don't. No, you don't. Because I'm respectful of that. That's right. Be nice. Be nice to people. Touch people. Not in a sexual sense, in an awkward sense. Did you ever give somebody a hug and you intend the hug to be a hug, you know, like a hug that lasts maybe about 3 seconds, 1, 2, 3, break it up. Have you ever given somebody a hug and they don't let go? And then you're awkwardly trying to end the hug, but it doesn't end, and the other person is still hugging. And now you're beyond the reason for the hug. Now you're locked into position and you can't end the hug. Now you're at their mercy to end the hug and they don't seem to be ending it. And now you know it's not a sexual situation. You know it's just a hug that's gone on way too long. It's surpassed its reason for the hug to begin with. That happens to me all the time because I don't do long, long hugs. I don't hug people for an inordinate amount of time. I think the hug lasts maybe 3 seconds. Break it up. Come on, go home. There's nothing to see here. But some of the people I hug, they don't stop hugging. They just keep going. I feel like in the hug itself, I'm looking at my watch going, how long is this going to take? The affection of the hug ended years ago in that particular hug. Has that happened to you? No? It's just me? Oh.
Let me tell you something about Ron Van Dam. He is not afraid to voice a controversial opinion now and then.
If you're eating 4 donuts for breakfast, you're probably eating a dozen donuts for lunch.
Whoa, slow it down, Radio Rebel. Don't burn it out all at once. You wild man. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Do you like life? I do. The two brothers that actually started the Life is Good movement, are you familiar with this? They're from the Boston area. And their big message is life is good. And they say that, well, you can listen to them. We're going to talk to them in just a second. You should live your life and enjoy life, but at the same time, don't dismiss all the crap that's going on that you can really change. And I'm talking about the political crap. Don't walk away from that. I hate that. I hate that when nobody knows what's going on with the president and with the White House and with the government. That this is your place. You better know what's going on. You better vote and you better keep your eyes on it. But the Life is Good people say, take your eyes off it every once in a while. So I'm kind of at odds with their momentum. I agree with a lot of it, but I think you don't let it blind you. Let's talk to the boys now. Hello, guys.
Hello, hey, good morning.
There you go. Bert Jacobs and John Jacobs join us. They're actually brothers with the same last name. And they are both co-founders and chief executive optimist of Life is Good. And John is co-founder and chief creative optimist of Life is Good. I assume you're both optimists.
We are at that, Ron. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing great here. You guys started this whole concept in the Boston area, I understand.
We did, just hawking shirts in the street many years ago, 25 years ago.
And where did this idea come from? How did this get generated as far as this spark is concerned?
We were kind of stumbling around, sleeping in our van, and one conversation we had a lot was how the media seemed to inundate people with negative news. We really wanted to counter all the negative news and help people focus on what's right with their lives.
And how long ago was this?
That was 25 years ago.
Well, things have gotten a little weird since... And I don't think you knew back then how much your optimism and Life is Good concept would be needed in the future.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. People always say, now's a great time for it, we really need it. But the concept is pretty timeless. You know, throughout history, optimism's always played an important role. And we're pretty sure in the future it will, too.
At the same time, Ron, we know what you're talking about, and yeah. It does feel very relevant today.
Yeah, it does. It does. Unfortunately, it does. This kind of poses a tougher goal, though, because we are more bombarded with negativity, and actually that negativity actually comes from the highest office here, which is confusing, to say the least. So we bear it upon ourselves with nobody to really tie us together anymore, to do it on our own, to tie ourselves together.
Yeah, so true. I think media, you know, the 6 o'clock news never gave you a balance of what's happening in the world. It's always focused on the negative.
Right.
But now it's not the 6 o'clock news. It's 24/7 from all angles.
Correct.
So it's all the more, you're right that it's all the more important to get your own psyche in place, because if you just listen to all that, you think we're ruining everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, while there's difficult things going on, there's lots of progress in most things, most metrics that you look at. The world has improved, but most people wouldn't think that by listening to the media. So I think you do have to wake up and say, okay, what's right with my life? What are the strengths in my life? And focus on those things. Not ignore the challenges, but focus on the opportunities. Those are the things that are going to grow in your life.
That's very true. There's no question about it. Again, it would be nice if someone could help us do that. But you're doing it.
We're trying, and really it was inspired by our community. Even after the business got going and we discovered life is good and we got some momentum, it was really the letters and emails from people going through difficult things that taught us that no matter what you're going through, you can actually get this elevated sense of gratitude by focusing on what's right with your life. And that could start with being able to breathe, eat, have a friend, have someone to love, eat. Like, it's the simplest things, and you start there. These people that have been going through chemo or losing loved ones, they taught us that it's really our choice every day to what to focus on.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is you would think with a company called Life is Good, the customers would be all these people on Easy Street, the person driving a Mercedes on the way to the beach. But the reality is we heard from people facing so much adversity, because if you just ate a sandwich, or if you're going to have a sandwich for lunch, Ron, it might just be a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you spent the last 12 months in a hospital eating through a tube,
right,
then that sandwich is like a celebration. So you get a heightened gratitude for life when you face challenges. So surprisingly, the best customers of Life is Good have been the ones who go through the most difficult challenges. That taught us a lot. It's a choice, just like, you know, anything else in life. You decide to be grateful. You decide to compare things to what could be worse and be grateful for what you have.
That's very, very true. I don't think there's anybody. I know some people who were cancer patients and are good now. And they say to me, every morning I get up is a celebration. And I think, wow, you have to go through that in order to realize that. And I think that's what you're saying here, that, you know, you shouldn't have to go through that to realize that. It should be incumbent.
Yeah, we can look at everyday challenges, you know, traffic, struggles at work, family, and looking at this through the same lens and say, I'm just lucky to be here. And I really think that helps your mindset and the energy you give to others every day.
Yeah, we had an employee the other day complain about the weather in Boston, right? And we showed them a paragraph that, you know, not too long ago, really, the country, you know, when the country was founded, the winter killed half the population in this town every year.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do? You were on a heated train, you walked two blocks, and now you're in a heated office and you're going to have an hour and a half lunch. Life's not so bad, you know what I mean? But she was worried about the weather. So I think it is all in how you look at it.
I suppose if that's what you're worried about, then life is actually good comparatively.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this year, Ron, it's our 25th anniversary, and we're really encouraging people to post positive things. In fact, we're on a mission to get 1 million people to share something good with the hashtag something good.
Yeah.
And for every something good that is shared, $1 is going to go to help kids in need. That's our big focus for 2019.
Very good.
And we think the country needs it. We all need it. And it's amazing how one little photo, one message, or a longer story from an individual really can lift other people, total strangers.
Yeah, we want your listeners to join us. Just hashtag something good, share anything. You can just tell us you spent time with your dog this morning, or you can get into something heavier. You can just take a picture, whatever you want to do. But you share something, we donate a dollar together. Okay. We raise $1 million to help kids in need.
Good. And again, where do we go to do that?
Lifeisgood.com.
Perfect. Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%, but we also need to keep our perspectives that things must get better, environment-wise, et cetera. So it's not what you're saying, it's not a total dismissal of what actually is going on. Right.
Yeah, you acknowledge the challenges, and you try to get after them and improve them, but it's a matter of where you focus most of your energy.
Right.
And I think if the news or some other factor causes us to dwell too much on our faults, on where we fell short, then it's not productive. But
or makes us paranoid that the world is just getting worse and worse, when in reality there's lots of great things happening.
Oh, yes. Both things can happen simultaneously.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think that's your point, is that there's no reason to destroy yourself. You keep your microcosm going there and enjoy. Hey,
exactly.
Pleasure speaking to you. It's a good thing. I wish there was one day out of the year, or more than one, where Life is Good could unite the entire world, just to take like 5 minutes and everything stops and people just like say, you know, we're together. We're all here. We're all the same.
Hey, thank you, Ron. Let's start it today. Hashtag something good.
You got
it. Hashtag something good at lifeisgood.com. Ron, thanks so much for giving us this time.
Enjoy
your day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today. This has been fun for me. I hope the same for you. Come here. Give me a hug. Come on. Come on. Come on. Bring it in. Come on. Come on. Tomorrow, huh? All right. I wish you peace.